well-oiled machine right now. I can be anywhere at any time, and I'm not afraid, not even for my son.
I started leading in the communal community group by leading the young men's community. At the same time, I supported my wife leading the working singles.
For vacation. Again, we could have settled for that. It did not match our expectation. So we refused to stay. With all the risks, with all the logical advice, with all the statistics, we left and got into the car. Where were we going? Nowhere. That is faith. When you are in faith, you get into the car and you drive nowhere. You just follow the voice of God. That's what Abraham says, did. Not knowing where he was going, he left. And that's how we left. We went to another hotel. As we walked in, the man started laughing. You are looking for a room. You guys kidding me? Please leave this place, shift. You don't have a reservation. So we left again. It really now looked like that fasting and praying was going to happen in the car. So we got into the car and we had nowhere to go. In a strange city. And our home in Tunisia was in another city far away. So we just again started driving off to nowhere. Just there thanking God. Pastor Charles, our pastor, who is now in heaven, had just taught us then. He has a book on it called Winning in Crisis. And in that book, he taught a principle. What does the word of the king say? And we checked it. The word of the king didn't match up with what we were seeing. So we refused it. And we kept going. Do you know, as we turned the corner, there was this mansion, like a presidential villa, right there. It was almost like the New Jerusalem. Just there. And we're like, what is this? So we drove up into the car park. The car park was like brand new milk concrete. There were ribbons all over the place. Like, what's going on here? We drove in. Is this a hotel? Yes. Do you have room? Every room is empty. We just opened. We just opened tonight. We just cut the ribbons tonight. Every room is empty. You are our first guest. You can have any room you want at any rate. You can test the hotel for us. True story. And they gave us a suite at nothing. It took us like queen and king into a brand new, you know, everything is smelling nude. Tear rubber smell. Took us to where we are going. And took us to a suite where we did plenty. You have a smart church. Plenty what? That's right, in a brand new suite. Now wait for the clincher and get the message behind this. That's after taking half my time telling this story. Wait for the clincher. When we woke up in the morning, putting on their lovely robe, you know how sweet it is to give you robe? Okay, you don't know yet, you will soon know. Putting on their robe, we cruised onto the balcony, feeling very presidential. And as we looked over the balcony, outside the city, guess which hotel we saw in the valley? Bacha! This hotel was just apparently round the corner from the Bacha hotel we had booked. So from our balcony, I remember that night, that morning so clearly. Emeka and I were like, can you see the sign? Is that hotel? We literally almost fell over the balcony looking. It was indeed that day we learned a lesson in faith we have not forgotten for 30 years. What are you willing to settle for? What are you willing to accept? Anybody who knows me knows I hate the word manage. Make me the manager, I'm like that. What are you managing? Yes, there is progression. Yes, there are levels. Yes, there is growth. But keep your eyes on the prize. Why are you settling for bachelor faith? Why? Some of you are married to bachelor husbands. Then you come and give us pastors work. Trying to build bachelor into five star. It cannot work, bro. And I'm not talking about whether the man has money or not. There are some men who have a lot of money who are bachelors. And there are some who don't have money, who are five star. What are you really looking for? What are you willing to settle for? That's five star faith. A lot of the body of Christ is living in bachelor faith. And it's sad. Because it wasn't the blood of dogs, cats, and rats that saved you. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So you owe yourself going for five star. Amen. Amen. Should I go on? So let's go quickly now. I was supposed to show you 5 points, but I definitely cannot. So I'll show you whatever I can in the time I have. Let's look at some things about five star faith. Basic things, you know. But I believe these are things that will kickstart you to raising your expectations and raising the standard of your faith. I found that a lot of believers talk about faith, but they don't live by faith. I've pastored for decades now. And pastoring used to show you people. A lot of Christians talk about faith. They can quote the scriptures, but they don't know jack about faith. If you are meant to live by faith, how can you not understand faith? It means you're not living. You're meant to live by faith. And faith is this abstract thing pastor talks about. This abstract thing they teach about. What about you? Do you understand faith? First thing, five-star faith comes by hearing. Five-star faith comes by hearing. Matthew 20 says, they heard that Jesus was passing by. Mark 10:47 says, he heard that it was Jesus. Luke 18 tells us, hearing a multitude, he asked what it meant. I don't just want to know what this noise, about this noise, what exactly is going on. And then they told him it was Jesus. And that was the trigger that he needed. Five-star faith comes by hearing. The trigger for your faith is for you to hear. That's why you're sitting here today. You're hearing. As you're hearing, faith is coming. You may not realize it. I didn't know that day 3 years ago I was going to fall. If I had not been hearing, I may not have been standing here today. I may not be here today. It comes by hearing. And five-star faith, when it hears, is particular about the source that it hears from. The Kenneth Woods translation says, let me read it. The Kenneth Woods translation says, having heard that it was Jesus, Mark 10:46, the Jesus from Nazareth. They heard it was Jesus, comma, the Jesus from Nazareth. That's particular. He had heard about this Jesus from Nazareth. It is not just a Jesus. It should be pure. It should be undiluted. It's not everybody who answers pastor you should listen to. It's not everybody on TV, on radio, on internet that is worth your time. The Jesus of Nazareth. Somebody say, the Jesus of Nazareth. It's so important that you hear. Because when you hear, it creates images in your mind. And we're going to see, if we get to the end of this, that it is those images that propel you eventually to receive. When you hear, what you end up doing is you paint, listen to this, you paint an image of possibilities on a canvas of impossibilities. I'll say it again. You paint an image of possibilities on a canvas of impossibilities. But it comes by hearing. And being particular, there are some people I don't listen to. I would rather watch a cartoon than listen to them. I repeat, I'd rather watch a cartoon or a decent James Bond movie than listen to a certain preacher or the other. It's, the cartoon will contribute better to my life, to bring me laughter. This preacher might bring me some confusion. I don't care how big a name he has. I don't care how large a church he pastors. If I'm not sure of the purity of the source, I'm not going there. It was the Jesus of Nazareth. Glory be to God. You've got to be selective. Notice what Jesus said. He asked him, listen. What would you like me to do for you? He didn't say, what would you like done for you? There's a difference. When you focus on what you want done for you, then you don't care who does it for you. Jesus didn't come and ask him, what would you like done for you? Hey, if I can only have a baby, oh, if I can only have this, oh, if I can have breakthrough, that's not... What would you like me to do for you? That's why you must know the source. Listen to me. It's between you and Jesus. At the end of the day, it is between who? You and Jesus. Pastor can support. Faith extenders can support. But that is not it. At the end of the day, it is between you and your Jesus. You can start Christianity, you are still referring to the God of your pastor. Start by the God of Nketiene. It's okay. No problem. But know that Nketiene has a God, so you can find him for yourself. Don't be praying to the God of Nketiene after 15 years as a Christian. Go find the God of Ngozi. Find the God of Buki. Find the God of Jumoke. And honor him for yourself. Don't think you're honoring me by quoting the God of Nketiene 20 years as a Christian. What would you like me, Jesus said, to do for you? Five-star faith is selective about what it hears and who it hears from. Glory be to God. Many people are clamoring for wealth, clamoring for health, but they're not clamoring for knowledge. They're not clamoring to hear. Matthew's version says, a great multitude followed him. So when you hear that, you think the whole multitude were rushing and they were all following him. Of course, for what purpose? To do what? Are you sure? Please follow me. A great multitude. So your assumption, the assumption is that they are all following him to hear. It is an assumption. Mark begins to split them up. They are his disciples. There is a great multitude. It is not every time you say a multitude that they are there to hear. Therefore, it is not every time you say a multitude in a church that there is faith. That is why you must be spiritually discerning. And I'm saying this because this is beyond here where we're seated in the World Church. Many people are watching online, going to all kinds of places. His disciples and a multitude. Where do you fit in when you are in the crowd? Are you among the multitude or are you among his disciples? Five-star faith comes by hearing. Glory be to God. Five-star faith speaks. Number two. Five-star faith speaks. He cried out. He began to cry out. He began to cry out. He began to cry out. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I what? I believed and therefore I? We also believe and therefore we? Five-star faith does not enjoy the luxury of silence. You can't. I'm just waiting on God. So what scripture are you? I'm waiting. God knows my heart. You will wait until it begins to snow in Port Harcourt. You won't see anything. If you believe, you will speak. And it is not to speak when you are in church. When pastor is standing here and you are drawing from his grace and he begins to lead you in a confession and I are shouting. Then when you go home, what happens? You know, when I watch that selfie video, I'm humbled because I don't know how. I don't know how in such a situation such words could come out of my mouth. And I look back, there must have been years of storage I wasn't even aware of. I don't know how, with death staring me in the face. I didn't read a book at that time. I didn't open any confession. It just began to come out of my belly. It began to flow. Five-star faith speaks. And it is when you are in the middle of the crisis. I've had a doctor look me in the eyes and tell me I would die if I fly. If I fly to 35,000 feet, my lungs will scatter and I will die. And Emeka and I looked at ourselves that day. And I asked him, long story short, I'm cutting it short. What do we do? He says, is it because of what that doctor said? We are flying. Like, why are you asking me what I'm going to do? Didn't we buy the ticket? I said, I wanted to be sure we're on the same page. I was told that I will die. And it was described how I will die. That even if I went on oxygen in that flight, it would not help me. Because my lungs had been attacked. That everything will rip open and I will die slowly. The man described it, an American Oyibo doctor. He went on to tell me that because nobody will be there to help me. That's when he misread. Nobody will be at 35,000 feet to help me. The heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. And he missed somewhere in 35,000 feet. We flew. 13-hour flight from Houston to Abuja. After like 4 hours of flying, my body began to domesticate her. There will always be a temptation. And I turned to my husband and said, my body is doing me somehow. He said, we'll not do you anyhow. Say that how? It will not do you. Listen, my husband did not start laying hands on me. Rabashakata. He didn't do that. Let us confess. By stripes you are healed. We sent forth his word, and his word did something to them. Okay, his word healed them. And he didn't do that. Something was there. Do you know what America did? He put on 1,001 Dalmatians. I've been at 101. Sorry, all in a Dalmatian. Dog. He puts on 101 Dalmatians. That is a cartoon. There is nothing Christian in that movie. We were flying first class, that flight. He just leaned forward, found 101 Dalmatians. He said, watch. Your lungs will not do you anyhow. And he kept on reading his book. So I put on my headphones and I began to watch 101 Dalmatians and I was laughing. I laughed till I slept and I woke up in Abuja. When I say five-star faith speaks, it's not speaking with energy and fire at that time. There's a knowing you must have. And that speaking comes out of a foundation of knowledge. Knowledge is scarce in the body of Christ. And it shouldn't be. It makes me want to weep before my father when I see how ignorant his children are. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. Why do we speak? Knowing. Knowing, the Bible says, is what you know that you speak. If you don't know, you can't speak. The church is blabbing, but they don't know anything. They haven't bothered to take in. We all quote Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ah, that's the unbeliever. Cool down. Do you know what that word destroyed means? Listen, it's a word that means to cause to be silent. To bring to silence. Symbolically, it speaks of death. Because when you are dead, you should not be talking. But look at the truth behind that. My people are brought to silence because of a lack of knowledge. How can you talk when you don't know anything? A pastor once told us when our church was young, that church, now it's also Queen's English. Then they speak. Queen's English, now they drive demons. So your ministry in life is to be driving demons. What happened to why he gave gifts to men? Was it for the driving of demons? To mature the saints. To mature the saints. For the maturing of the saints. The maturing of the saints comes by the systematic teaching of the word of God. Every ministry gift is important. But you cannot do without any of them. When you have a church where nobody is teaching the word, you shout on Monday, you shout on Tuesday, you shout on Wednesday, you shout on Thursday. When the devil comes, you shout and run. Five-star faith speaks. And it speaks from a foundation of knowledge. And knowledge takes time to be built in you. It takes sacrifice. You switch off CNN. You switch off your Instagram sometimes. You switch off television. You switch off your calls. And taking the word of God, that's your calling as a believer. To believe. The guy was holding on to his lifeline. He knew he had to speak. He had heard it was that Jesus. Not another one. This was his last bus stop. The Jesus from Nazareth is here. Lakusa Brandiskaya. And he said, no, I must stop. They warned him. That word warned is the word epitimao. And it means to rebuke with to tax you. It shows putting a price tag on something. If you don't talk, you pay something. If you keep talking, you pay something. Keep quiet. Shut up or we'll tax you. That's intimidation. And that's why a lot of us don't talk. We don't hold fast. We see the price and we shy away and never get our miracle. They warned him. We'll tax you. Keep quiet. Move from here. Why are you talking? They were clueless. They're not in faith. But they were a multitude. What does the Bible say? He cried out all the more. God, the desire of our heart. We didn't know where it was, but we knew it was there somewhere. How long are you willing to hold fast? How long? How do you get intimidated so easily? By what people tell you? If you keep saying this thing, they'll be laughing at you. Better slow down. My body has been through so much in the last maybe 10 years. And I have different looks. Just be looking like this. Sometimes I don't even recognize myself in the mirror. I just be changing. Thank God I know my spirit. If not, I'm for confused. I look some days, I'm like this. 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 But I know me. So I've been stable. Because I know me. But in one of those weird moments when I was not looking like me, God said I should start running my TV program, Fresh Jude, as we known for. Fresh Jude is as old as my daughter. But I was pregnant for her when we started Fresh Jude 23 years ago. So Fresh Jude is as old as that. So I was trying to just do reruns so my face will align. And the Holy Spirit said, go. Don't just go and be doing it. Do it daily. I said, I did not hear you well. Thank you. He said, go and be doing it daily. See, as I'm looking like this, is that the same way they'll be seeing you change, and they will see it happen live. I got some nasty texts. My name will be on the screen. And someone will send it. It's my mother. It's not me. You are seeing me, I'm preaching. At least I'm still preaching. Is that you? Eh? What happened? I could have been intimidated. I could have been ashamed. I could have said it was not befitting of a man of God. Some men of God won't tell you testimonies like this. They fell from heaven complete and nothing shook. It's not like that. It's not. I'm walking the same faith walk I'm teaching you. I'm walking the same faith walk I'm teaching you. I'm a believer first before I'm a pastor. And I'm not ashamed of it. They warn you. They will tell you to keep quiet. You hold fast to your profession. You hold fast to your confession. That is faith. Tenaciously. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until I get it. That is not faith. I'm not letting go because I have it. The minute you start putting I will, you have shifted from faith. Remove future tense from anything that is faith. Remove it! The minute you put future tense, you are no longer in faith! Quote me anywhere! What Jesus has already done is what you believe. Something has already happened. It may not have manifested. But your faith is not based on manifestation. That's why it is the substance, the evidence of things not yet seen. But it's there and now. So have an accountability partner. Check your speech. Once you shift into future tense, have them draw you back. Have a friend, your spouse, somebody, what did you just say? Oh, draw it back. And train your tongue to speak by faith and hold fast. Are you following me, church? You hold fast. Everybody say, I'm holding on. I will hold fast to my confession of faith. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You won't postpone your miracle. You won't. Look at what the WWS translation says. Listen. Having heard that it was Jesus, Jesus from Nazareth, he began to keep on crying out and saying, Son, listen, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy upon me at once. At once. And many kept on censoring him severely to the effect that he should be silent. But he kept on crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me at once. Holding fast suggests being patient. But being patient does not mean postponing your miracle. When you are holding fast, you expect it today. And if tomorrow comes, you expect it today. And if tomorrow comes, you expect it today. And if tomorrow comes, you expect it today. The problem with patience among Christians is we enter into the future. Well, I'm waiting on God. We're holding on. We're holding on. We're holding on. So you're constantly holding on, hoping that one day in the by and by, maybe even in heaven. No. You have the courage and the boldness to expect it today. The 5th of January 2019 was a Saturday. The 6th of January, I was to preach the first Sunday service of the year. That thing I was reading was my notes for that service. I opened my Bible and began to read my notes. My associate pastor had to come that night. I downloaded my notes and he took the message the next day. By the 13th of January, a week after that, I was in church. I walked into church like this. And I sat down, my face the way it was, and my voice. I didn't just sit down. I stood in front of the church. I give me that microphone. No, Pastor, at least you are in church. At least I was born to preach. If I don't preach, I will die. That's what I was born to do. So on the 13th of January, I stood before the congregation with a mic, and I spoke for like 8 to 10 minutes. My voice wasn't that clear. My look wasn't beautiful. My walk was not awesome. But I was in church with my Bible, and I was preaching. You hold fast, regardless. Because you know, right now, today, is the day for your miracle. Lift your hands and give him praise. So 5-star faith hears. Number one, 5-star faith does what? Number two, 5-star faith does what? And number three, that's three. Number four, let's see if we can squeeze four in. 5-star faith receives the miracle. Glory be to God. 5-star faith receives the miracle. If somebody apparently was in faith, now I'll make this statement boldly and if they did not receive, they were not in faith. Pastor Nketi, you have no right to judge anybody. How can I? As I am like this, I can't judge anybody. I can just declare what the word defines as faith. Faith receives. That's everybody knows what they are dealing with God. Some people are dealing with unforgiveness. They can be shouting and quoting. And you on the outside, you are judging their faith by what you are hearing and seeing. But you don't know what's going on where it matters most. So mind your own faith. Too many people have seen people in faith and they died. And they say faith doesn't work. Sometimes God likes you. It is not true. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even it is simple. So if you don't have victory in that matter and you don't overcome, it was not faith. I don't care what you sounded like. I don't care what you looked like. I don't care how big your church was. I don't care what you preached. And I'm not judging you. I just want to know faith that will be victorious for me. Some of you are scarred. Because you know people, I prayed for them. They prayed too. We prayed. Some of those prayers, they're alibi prayers. Let it be that we prayed. Let us join those who prayed. As you are praying, you have already seen them dead. You receive. He said to them, receive your sight. So how did he receive it? How does somebody receive their sight? Please advise me. How? Well, the first thing was Jesus told him. He told him in Mark 10. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, the same people who didn't shut up, saying, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came. Listen. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Do you see that? The way he received his sight was by the actions he took. That's what we see him doing there. Rise, he rose. He is blind. He cannot see. Listen. Rise, he rose. He could have said, when he heard rise, but I might, there's a multitude. He might run into somebody. He rose. Do you know why he rose? Because faith creates images and creates possibilities on a canvas of impossibilities. Bartimaeus already saw himself seeing. The multitude that he could not see physically meant nothing to him. Rise, he rose. Rise, he rose. With the multitude there, he rose. Imagine I'm on the edge here. You tell me, come. I won't move. I would try to find out if I'm near the edge. He rose. Or you could have said, rise. And as he came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, go your way. Again, he began to move. And that is when his eyes opened. Are you willing to rise? What step are you willing to take? What weird thing are you willing? What are you willing to do that doesn't make sense? What illogical thing are you ready to do? And for you, it may be something else, but for you, it may be something else. The Holy Spirit will tell you, if it is 5-star faith, you will always receive. Block it out of your mind. Close that gap. Can't find the scripture to back it. If it is faith, in the name of Jesus, according to the will of God, you must receive. So your business is to understand faith, is to know how to use the name of Jesus, and to understand the will of God for your life. 5-star faith receives. Lift your hands to Jesus. Lift your hands to Jesus. Bartimaeus was no longer blind inside. He was seeing. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see yourself as healed? Do you see yourself as delivered? What do you see? Do you see yourself without affliction forever? Somebody is healed of a liver condition. Now, in the name of Jesus. Somebody else is healed of a gallbladder situation. Now, in the name of Jesus. Somebody with pile. Pile is shrinking, it's gone. In the name of Jesus. God told me about somebody all the way back in Port Harcourt. Somebody who's watching this, who has a practice of cutting themselves. I don't know the way you cut yourself. That's not of God. It's not of God. And we silence that lying spirit today in the name of Jesus. You will never cut yourself again. That is it. That is it. That foul spirit that's been lying to you shuts up now in the name of Jesus Christ. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. Someone is a believer, quite active in the church you attend, but you recently had an abortion. It's almost killed you. And not killed you physically. It's almost killed you on the inside. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for the generous mercy of God. God says he's forgiven you. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it go and receive new life in him. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to him. Lift your hands to him. Lift your hands to him. His presence is so strong in this place. Just lift your hands to him. Thank him for opening your eyes to see the truth of the word of God. Open your eyes to see the truth. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody with vaginal pus is drying up now in the name of Jesus. Somebody with a sore on their body that has refused to heal, you watch that sore begin to amend from now in the name of Jesus. Addictions are being broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody particularly who has a problem with drug addiction and you inject yourself with that, it ends today. You will no longer have a desire for that. Every evil addiction is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your mercy. Lift up your hands and worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Awesome God. Awesome God. Somebody needs to forgive their parents. Somebody needs to forgive their parents. You know what your parents did to you. Somebody else did something so terrible at work, and it cost you a lot at work. God says mercy is here to restore you. Yeah, you messed up at work particularly, and it cost you a lot. God says, I've forgiven you, and I'm going to switch it for you and restore you, and I'll do it publicly. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands again to the Father. Lift your hands and worship him. Worship him. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his love. Thank him. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his love. Somebody is bloated, almost like a constipation situation. It's bloated. It's gone in the name of Jesus. A child with a persistent temperature, persistent fever. This is the last and the end of it. It's broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to Jesus. Somebody else cannot swallow when they eat. God says, go find something you couldn't eat and eat it, because you are healed. The healing mercy of God is in this place. The healing love of God is in this place. The healing compassion of God is in this place. Lift up your hands and worship him. Worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please worship him. Please worship him. Please worship him.
As long as I'm breathing,
as long as I am,
I will always worship. Amen. You may be seated.